Welcome, students. Thank you for joining us here at Greendale 101. This is the first of hopefully many sessions, and today we're going to be covering orientation, Spanish 101, intro to film, and social psychology. And I'm here. My name is Brian. Joining me is Yin to my Yang, Mr. Ben.
Hello. You don't have to call me Mr. Ben.
Oh, Uncle Ben.
No, that's Rice.
I was thinking Spider-Man, but okay.
Oh, whatever.
But we are here to talk to you about a show, a little comedy that has been overlooked for far too long.
So indeed.
We're here to hopefully do our part to spread a little bit of awareness about Community.
A lot of awareness.
Community awareness. It airs Thursdays at 8 on NBC.
Or 7 if you're in Central.
That's true.
Or 6 if you're Rockies.
Or, you know,
or 5 if you're Pacific.
You know, if you're in the UK, I think they just started season 2, so I'm sorry, you'll have to check your local listings. I guess that's why we should always say check your local listings.
Yeah, do that. Or go to NBC.com. I'm sure that will say.
True. But all that matters is go through proper channels and watch it, or buy the DVDs.
I hear they're awesome.
Oh, the DVDs are excellent value. I bought mine day one. Commentary for every episode, which is rare.
I love commentary.
It is, and it's fantastic commentary. You know, they switch it up, but creator of the show, Dan Harmon's on every track. So he's there kind of lead you along the way and inform you and enlighten, but also amuse. He's kind of the Matt Groening of the show, if you have any Simpsons DVDs.
Oh, yeah, like in Futurama, I think, is another one where every episode is commentary.
That's true.
Although, I know it's worth it.
Actually, in The Simpsons, it gets kind of awkward in the later seasons because you kind of stopped having such a hands-on role in that show to work on Futurama. So he's like, yeah, I don't really like that joke you guys did, but whatever. So at a certain point, I guess he's there getting a check, but... At least with the Community, Dan Harmon still seems very much involved and very passionate about the project.
I've just recently gotten into Community. I've heard tons of good things about it for the whole first 2 years. People tweeting about how great it was, and I even followed a couple of the cast members, even though I'd never seen it yet. And then just recently, I started watching the show, and I was like, holy crap, you guys were right. This show is amazing.
It really is. Unlike anything else on TV, it's why... You know, I can't, you know, I wish I could call it my favorite show on TV right now. It's number 2 after Breaking Bad, which, you know, it's like, you know, you can't even compare the two. But
number 1 comedy, though.
Number 1 comedy, hands down.
Yeah. What other show can
parody
itself?
Kind of dark humor. But absolutely. It's capable of some really impressive things. You haven't even gotten to the part where it grows into something else. You're still in the... season 1, and if you listen to the commentary in various interviews Dan Harmon's given, he talks about how they were very careful and very sure to keep everything in season 1 on campus. It never left the campus. So once you get to season 2, it kind of opens the whole world up. But
spoilers.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. But, I'm at the end of season 1. I'm still going, though, and I love the show. I started watching it after I read a couple articles talking about how it parodies itself so much. And then I was like, yes, I am watching. And now I have.
Yeah, you haven't quite gotten to that point yet. You're early on. It's kind of amazing, all the things it does. It, it does vary genre week to week later on. But the first episodes lay a really solid foundation for the characters and the universe. And then... Yeah, that allows later on for them to kind of turn it on its ear and say, like, I don't even want to spoil it for you. Like, oh, we're doing this kind of crazy thing, but it's still going to be grounded in this reality that we've created.
Like the Mafia episode.
Oh, yeah, you've seen the Chicken Fingers.
I watched that one. Yeah, Chicken Fingers.
I think that's the first episode that kind of tests the waters.
It seemed like it, and I really liked the style of that. But we will be talking about the foundation of the show.
That's true. Like I said, today we're going to be covering the first episode, the pilot, Spanish 101, intro to film, and social psychology. So let's start at the beginning, I suppose.
That's the best place to start.
Of course. So the pilot, excellent intro, I thought.
A good way to introduce it, too. Introduct it. That's not a word.
the, the whole spill with the Dean Pelton on the intercom, and kind of announcing various character types on the show. It's like, oh, you'll hear people say things about community college, like it's a place for high school dropouts or
losers, middle-aged divorcees, and old people.
Oh, yeah, I wish I could remember the exact line there. Trying to prevent their mind from circling the drain of eternity.
Yeah. And it has to focus on each one for each of those.
Yeah, so you, right away you get a sense of who some of these people are. And the and then you meet the main character, smooth-talking former lawyer Jeff Winger, and Abed, personal favorite of mine. And he... It's kind of really amazing. He puts everything out instantly. Like, the first words out of his mouth are like, okay, well, here's who I am. These are my parents. My dad's angry, but angry because my mom left, not angry at America. Actually, let's see. I've got a sheet of characters, unless, you know, since that's kind of the purpose of the first episode is to introduce us to everyone, I will go over it, and we'll get some thoughts from you. First up is our lead, our protagonist, Jeffrey Winger.
This is a good time to go over him, because this is the first place where we really get to hear him talk.
Absolutely, and, you know, like, the casting of the show is really excellent, but Joel McHale really nailing it as Jeff, kind of, like just by his wardrobe, you know, it's a dude with kind of the messy Seacrest hair, sweatpants, and sports jackets.
Yep, he's snarky, and he knows what he's talking about. He can work his way with words. He can get what he wants by talking. You can tell at the very start.
Yeah, that's true. And that's that's how he ended up with that profession. And the thing I found really fascinating that they do later on is because you see Joel McHale in the show and the character, and I kind of thought, like, oh, he reminds me of like a young Chevy Chase. And like, we actually have Chevy Chase in the show, and like later they do make that comparison. It's like, oh, you remind me a lot of myself when I was your age, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about it that way. That's true.
And they're physically very similar. They're both very tall.
Oh, yeah, they are. But his talking his way out of trouble is also how he ended up there at Greendale in the first place, because he talked his way into apparently falsifying a degree from Columbia, the country, not the college.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite lines in the scene with Professor Duncan. Like, I thought you had a degree from Columbia. It's like, yeah, now I need one from America.
And we get pretty early on that he uses people to get what he wants. He uses Abed to find out information about that hot girl from Spanish, because that's all he knew about her at the time.
Yeah.
Tries to use Duncan to get the answers to everything.
That's true. Always looking for the easy way out.
That's Jeff.
That's Mr. Winger. And then... moving on from there, we get, which I appreciate it. It seemed like obligatory, though. You have the scene with Chevy Chase doing the physical comedy with the hot dog and the yellow thing that looks like mustard, but it's mayonnaise, and he's hiding it. It's like, all right, yeah, okay, yeah.
I know where he's been. I've done that before. I mess up my food. I'm like, let's just put this underneath that thing. Let's get something else. I've done that before. One thing that surprised me in the scene before that, where Jeff is talking to Professor Duncan, played by John Oliver, who is hilarious in everything I've seen him in, which so far is this and The Daily Show.
But it really, really nails those two things, though.
He does. He's really good at them. I was surprised that they could do a funny 9/11 joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was impressive.
You're right. It's like
I still cannot figure out how you got a jury to connect September the 11th with my DUI.
Like, October 2001 was a much simpler time.
And as far as I could tell, I mean, from what else I've seen so far, they keep that up with him, Jeff, being the September the 11th lawyer.
Yeah.
And the one where he's trying to get Britta off of cheating on the test.
That's true. That is definitely in his bag of tricks.
And how – it's just amazing that they can get away with that without people getting all pissy at him.
I mean, it just goes to show how skillful the writing is, though. It's, you know, that they can navigate that minefield with you know, without, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the network. I don't know if they got letters, but
like, still, way to go, writers.
Exactly. Well done. I admire what you did there. So let's see. We have. I swore we weren't going to do this scene by scene, but we'll.
There are funny lines in every scene. We almost have to get through all the funny ones.
Yeah. We have Jeff. He approaches Britta, and you know he's like, "Oh, I'm a board certified Spanish tutor," and that's kind of what gets the whole ball rolling. That's like the origin of this group, and. I really liked, like, I'm going to study with the guy that spent all class playing Bejeweled on his iPhone. It's like, I'm taking it as an easy credit. So he right away, you see him putting those lawyer skills to good use.
And he does throughout the whole show so far, pretty much. What's weird is, I don't, like, at that point when I first started watching, I was like, how is he a likable, how do I like him so much? When I obviously, they're showing everything why I shouldn't like him in most TV shows, but I still like him.
No, you're right. That's an incredible skill to have in terms of performing. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but it's also like a really similar skill set that Bryan Cranston has on Breaking Bad. You can see this guy just being really horrible and despicable, but likable at the same time.
Dexter.
Yeah, you're right.
How do they keep doing this in television? Smooth-talking jerk is always not the good guy. Until now. Maybe because he's nice to Abed. And how can you dislike Abed?
Oh, man, I can't think of anybody that dislikes Abed.
Me neither. Not a reason to.
In fact, I'm at times I'm a little bit concerned about how much I can relate to Abed.
Oh, I know. I think, I'm not sure if it's in this podcast that we go over it. There's one scene where I realized later, like, oh my God, I'm just like Abed. Eating cereal, watching television. That's his life. I'm like, oh my, this is what, I was eating cereal watching Community. Like, wait a second.
It's got to be an unsettling moment.
It was. But what was impressive about that scene when he was talking to Britta, the Spanish he rattled off that wasn't what actually was, I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, again, I mean, I never took any Spanish classes, but it was impressive.
I mean, if I said pretend I could speak Italian, I can't rattle off a couple random Italian phrases.
I don't know. You've played enough Assassin's Creed 2. You should be able to pull something out.
Well, I could make the pattern of sounds, but it wouldn't sound like words.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I guess it's possible. I really don't want to look too much into this, but being in a Spanish 101 class, I guess he was just, like, throwing out words that he knew.
That would make sense for a couple of them. I like how, if you think about it, the last phrase, do not scratch my car, he's talked to too many valets. it's where he picked up some of this.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of Spanish-speaking valets in Colorado.
Apparently. Well, he's a lawyer. He meets valets.
Sure. That's true.
Or was.
Yeah.
Driving his Lexus.
Former lawyer. We go from there, we go to the study room, which is, has been called by Dan Harmon, it's the Cheers bar of the show. That's the showcase. You want them around that table.
That makes sense. Yeah, I do like those scenes the best.
And this is, again, this is getting the ball rolling to the origin of that. Jeff comes, he's... Again, really doing horrible things, like falsifying a situation in which he could, eventually hook up with this chick. And then she invited Abed, and then Abed invited all these other people from the class, and that's...
This is also where we get to know Britta for the first time.
Yeah, let's see, she's on the list.
She dropped out of high school because she thought it would impress Radiohead.
Yeah, joined the Peace Corps, I believe.
Yep, Peace Corps, tear gassed, she values honesty. That's her character, pretty much.
Yeah, so, it's a little bit early, but, how'd you feel about Britta in this episode?
Throughout the whole episode, I didn't like her that much, just because, I don't know, even though she was more of a good character, I just found her off-putting and kind of mean sometimes.
Yeah, but, she, like... I mean, it's kind of unfortunate. They do they do course correct it later on in the show. They fix what you know some things that kind of maybe seemed wrong with the character. I'm not gonna say that they were wrong, but in this episode, unfortunately, you don't really get a terribly great sense of who she is because she seems like more of a plot device. Like she's there to she's there to kind of call Jeff on his stuff. You know, make sure he does the right thing, and
Yeah, as I've watched more episodes, I'm liking her more, but mostly because I like her that other people make fun of her so much.
Yeah, I mean, they really you know, find who that character is, and, you know, it's, you know, and by having everyone make fun of her, though, she does become a lot more likable to the point where here, you know, at the end of season two, she's actually one of my favorite characters.
Oh, cool. I can't wait till I get to that point.
He said, filled with disappointment. Oh, can't wait until that's I where I am.
Until she's my favorite.
It's like Troy and who? I don't know.
One of my favorite parts is also in the scene when Jeff texts Abed. Say you have to pee. I need to talk to you. What does that mean? Say you have to pee. I need to talk to you. I don't have to pee.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, you're right.
I love that part.
You know, I'm ashamed to admit it. I've watched the pilot several times. I never understood that. I never knew who the text was coming from.
Oh, if you look at Jeff right before that, he's like, I'm just going to put this number in my phone, and he kind of holds it down underneath him, so he's like secretly texting.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Jeff's trying to get him out of the room so he can say, leave us alone. No. I'm trying to get with her.
Now it makes perfect sense. But at the time, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's going
on. Yeah, his very first text. He was confused.
Oh, thank God. I know. Thank you for being here. Thank you for clearing this up for me.
You're welcome.
I'm just going to have you hanging around to explain jokes to me now.
That's why I'm your yang. That's a weird phrase. I'm not going to say it like that anymore.
Yeah, maybe think twice about the wording on that one.
Anyway,
but that's right, Duncan with his misguided grasp of abbreviation.
I know people like that.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's older people. Very few older people I know that try to text, but when they do, it's trying to be cool. I can see Pierce trying to text like that.
Yeah, you're right. I can see that.
No, as long as there's something, like, inappropriate also in there. Mm. That seems to be his forte.
Oh, so great, though.
We'll get to Pierce.
I can't wait to get to Pierce.
Duncan and Jeff discussing on the football field?
The sports field.
Watching the very pathetic people race around the track.
It's a great, great line that was used a lot in the marketing. There's a guy here trying out for the track team that's older than the game poker.
He's kind of trucking.
That's true.
That was so weird. And they talk, and Duncan doesn't want to give the answers. Jeff tries to convince him to give the answers. And a very, like, personality-revealing quote from Jeff, if I talk long enough, I can make anything right or wrong.
That's true. Make anything true.
That's his personality right there.
That's it in a nutshell.
Hey, he tries to use reverse psychology on a psychologist. A 7-year-old girl could talk to you that way. Yes, because that would be adorable.
No, it's because you're a 6-year-old girl and there's a pecking order.
I love those two.
Yeah, that's good. I know John Oliver is insanely busy working on The Daily Show, but I'm always really happy when he can drop by for an episode or two.
Every episode I see him on, I get super excited for the rest of the episode.
Just waiting for him to show back up. Oh, what? No. Is that John Oliver? No, it's just a guy with glasses.
Oh. I wear glasses, but I'm not John Oliver. That wasn't really necessary to say.
Like I was about to say, I think he found the sign-off for the show. For this week, I wear glasses, but I'm not John Oliver. Good night.
Maybe a different one. And then study group.
Yeah, back in the study group. And it's where we meet everyone around the table. And Abed, very quick to point out that, like, this is basically the Breakfast Club.
Yep. And they reference it later.
He's very excited by this. But I don't know. This I don't want to say he seemed off, but the Abed we see in this episode seems a little bit different from the guy we get to know later on. I don't know if
I agree.
You know, and it could be argued, is he doing this intentionally? Is he playing another person?
I think he might be. Maybe this is just the him that. It's where he fit in at the time. This is how he fit best. And as he got to know everyone, he found his place. Or the writers did that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, either way works. We do get one of these scenes. We get the first use of Abed's cool, like the three cools in a row, which is recurring.
Oh, I haven't noticed.
Oh, yeah,
that.
He says it a lot. Like, he'll say, "Oh, cool."
But the ones we haven't met yet. Like, you haven't officially met Troy, Shirley, and this is the first time we see Annie. They each have, like, one really quick line, and it kind of tells you about each of them. Troy, he sounds dumb with his line. Shirley, sassy and has kids. Annie, kind of mean. At first, she was kind of mean.
Yeah, and really, I can't decide if it's intentional or if it's just, like, the nature of doing a show and, you know, finding these characters and their voices over. But you look at them, they do seem differently, especially Troy. I think out of all the characters, Troy's had one of the more interesting character developments throughout the, I'll say, like, the first season and a half. There's a pretty good arc there.
As far as I've seen so far, he seems different from the first couple episodes.
Absolutely, yeah. You can see it early on. Especially
he was super jockish at first.
Especially when you get to his episode.
His episode?
Football.
Oh, his first one. Yeah. Football, Feminism, and You.
Yes, that's the one.
Yes, that's true.
But let's see, who else do we have?
You see Pierce, but not for very long.
Yeah, true. This is also the scene where we find out that Annie and Troy went to school together, and she dropped out because she was addicted to Adderall. Annie Adderall.
Little Annie Adderall, yep. Oh, you find out a lot in this scene.
Oh, absolutely.
This is when Jeff and Britta walked outside, or Jeff went outside to find Britta because he was trying to sneak out of there. Britta was smoking.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
She'll say, "Yeah, if you tutor them, we can go eat dinner." And Jeff tries to prove that they're untutorable.
Untutorable. Yeah, and then we get the great sense of Pierce. When they come back, he does the intro to everyone. He's like, "Oh, this is Brittle's
Abed the Arab."
That's right. Abed the Arab. Like, is that offensive? Is that offensive? Yeah, it's incredible.
Roy the Wonder Boy, name's Troy.
And he gets the shirt, and this beautiful woman's Shirley. Is that even close?
Beautiful creature.
Yes, beautiful creature.
And Shirley just looks like, that part's so creepy. Yeah. Every episode I've seen that in. Those.
Oh, I love that. I love that later on. I just like the first episode, how he keeps hitting on her. It's like, yeah,
Princess Elizabeth, too.
That's right.
That's a personality. I can see that. Jack's all princessy in the first couple episodes.
Yeah. a little line about Pierce's sexual harassment, though. It's like, oh, you're sexually harassing her. Why would I harass her if she turns me on?
Exactly. We get a really good sense of characters in this one. Shirley talks about adults getting the back of their head grabbed and slammed into a jukebox. Yeah, that's very nice, but secretly kind of scary.
Oddly specific, yeah.
Yeah, oddly specific. Had to have. Couldn't be improv. Troy dislocated both shoulders in a keg flip.
Oh, yeah. Keg flip. Much trickier than a keg stand.
Oh, yeah. And then Abed, Breakfast Club, little rant there.
Yeah, always relating everything back to television and film.
Got a pack of smokes for Christmas in the Bender household.
I've not seen that movie, but that's the only part I'm like aware of. That speech.
I saw it a while ago, but I still knew. I knew. Duncan calls him back. Calls Jeff back, disguising his voice.
Yeah.
This is Professor Duncan.
That's right. And they meet up in this car. What kind? Well, you know, I know nothing about cars. What kind of automobile is that?
Not totally sure. I think it was some sort of hybrid.
Comedically small.
Yeah, I think it's some kind of small hybrid, mainly because Jeff says no man would drive something like that. And I know that's how people feel about hybrids.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it, but
yeah.
But that's Jeff's character.
True.
He wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be caught dead in it, and that's why it kind of crushes him when Duncan makes him give up the Lexus for the supposed packet of answers.
Supposed? You ruined the episode.
Man.
Who is listening to this without watching the pilot, though?
Just move on to the next one.
The next episode?
The next season.
I'm not even there
Anthropology
yet.
Anthropology 102. 201. I don't know what it's called.
Jeff comes back. Makes them all get along because Brittig's all mad at him. You know what makes humans different from other animals?
Oh yeah, the first Jeff speech, the first of many.
Troy says feet.
Bears have feet.
Come on, bears have feet.
No,
Shark Week pencils and Ben Affleck, and then they all get along because that's what Jeff does.
That's true.
Abed compliments him. I thought you were like Bill. No, it says he's like Bill Murray at one point.
Yeah, I thought you were like Bill Murray, but you're actually Michael Douglas.
Yeah, that was after Britta reveals the truth.
No, his true intention.
Yeah, Britta lied about being on a date. So Jeff's like, I have all the answers. Bye. And Abed was mean. You're like more like Michael Douglas in any of his films. Well, you have Asperger's.
Nah.
And then Troy and Pierce laugh and laugh.
That's true, and that's a pretty good kind of bonding moment for those characters. We realize that they have a very very similar juvenile sense of humor. It's kind of like going forward from here. There's kind of like this odd bond between those two guys that you wouldn't expect, but then when you look at it, it actually makes a good deal of sense.
That's true. Oh, and Annie tries to keep it serious. Like, come on, that's serious. It's a very serious illness. Pierce, if it's so serious, why don't they call it meningitis? I love that line. Like, Pierce, you're so inappropriate.
That is a good Pierce line.
I love Pierce.
Pierce is my favorite, hands down.
For me, Pierce and Abed are my favorites. Abed mostly because I see a little bit of myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say the same thing about Pierce, but
you don't want to see any of Pierce in yourself.
I don't know. It's again, you know, later on they do establish that he says things other people won't, and that has value.
Oh, that's weird.
There's a wonderful darkness to that character moving forward.
Jeff's outside. Sees the pages are blank. Booyah!
Booyah! And see, and then he confronts Duncan, gets the keys back. Duncan's like, I taught you a valuable life lesson. You can't take the easy way out.
Also, Duncan's drinking, which I don't think is good when you have a DUI.
Probably not.
He was going to drive that Lexus home.
Yeah.
Order chalupas on the freeway.
He had the keys. I need to keep the car. It's part of the lesson.
Oh, John Oliver, you're the best.
And then, let's see, we have Jeff goes back. He runs into Pierce outside. And this is where we learned a pretty important fact about Pierce. Divorced 7 times.
I think something's wrong with me. You keep getting married. That's very true. Do we find out about his wives as we go?
No, not so far.
Because in one episode, or there, I think a couple episodes in a row, he mentions his third wife. I think that was the one with that lady who was on American Idol as his stepdaughter or something.
Yeah, the family day. Yeah, it's about as far as they've gone into it so far.
Okay, I was just wondering, because they have 7 wives they can go over. They have plenty of guest stars they could throw in if one of them has to come up there for some reason.
That's true, but they have to come up with a reason for him to see one of his ex-wives.
I'm sure they can think of one. They're really they're good.
They are writers. That's what they do. Write it into existence.
Exactly.
Then the outside, everyone kind of comes back, and you know, Jeff's like, "Oh, you know, I'm gonna fail. I don't have answers." And Troy's like, "Oh, you know, it's pretty easy. We just study for a little bit. You seem pretty smart. You have a sports coat."
Oh, Troy! Troy the Wonder Boy.
Troy the Wonder Boy.
T-Bone.
Yeah, T-Bone comes back later. And I again, just it's kind of, you know, we right here we kind of get to the heart of the show. You have this moment with Troy talking about, you know, his high school letterman jacket It's like people, you know, kind of make fun of him because he wears it, but should he really feel the pressure and not wear it? And Jeff says, like, well, it doesn't matter if you do it. You know, if you wear it, you're doing it to them. If you take it off, you're doing what they want. Either way, you're doing it for them instead of yourself.
I feel like Jeff actually helping someone to help someone.
Genuinely, like
genuine moment for Jeff.
Genuinely, being a good person for once, helping out Troy.
He could use his powers for good. He chooses not to.
And everyone comes outside. They have this great bonding moment, and they go back and study. So the episode.
Yep, and that's how the show ended.
And that's how it ends. And then at the end, there's a little message like, in memoriam, John Hughes, because the whole episode's basically a homage to The Breakfast Club.
Yep, the song at the end, too.
Yeah, it's true. So there we have it. We have the orientation, the intro to these people, and we get a better sense of them going forward.
Yep, it laid our base foundation. Why do I use both words? They mean the same thing.
The base foundation.
But it laid it either way.
Then we do move forward to Spanish 101. And if you listen to the DVD commentary, they talk about something pretty interesting about their intentions is, Jeff, obviously the central character, but then early on they tried to pair Jeff off with another character to kind of delve into who they are and kind of get a sense of them. So the first one is Jeff and Pierce.
Oh, that does make sense. Oh, and that – okay. All right. I'm seeing it now.
You see what they did?
I've seen the Troy one and all that stuff.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, because the next one is Jeff and Abed, intro to film, and then social psychology is Shirley.
Oh, this is Shirley.
Shirley, yeah. You remember Shirley.
That's the wrong podcast.
It's another life.
Yep.
But Spanish 101 is the introduction to the great Ken Jeong as Senor Chang.
He's good. The dean, really good announcements at the start of this one.
Oh, it's one of my favorite parts is the thing with the library and PA systems. Like, some people are saying the volume should be lowered, while others question its existence.
Abed has a really good line.
Yeah, he says, I like it. It makes every 10 minutes feel like a new scene of a TV show. Only the illusion only lasts until somebody says something they never say on TV, like how much their life is like TV. There, it's gone.
Oh. After the first two episodes, I was actually hopeful that every episode would start with a bunch of random Dean announcements.
Oh, that would be good. They need to go back to that well a few more times, but that's not not the only trick up their sleeve.
Okay, good, because, they're funny. Jeff shows up.
Yeah,
greets everyone exactly the way that they would want to be greeted. Impressive.
People are like, let's wait for Jeff. And, Jeff already beloved among everyone, and he has the great intro. I just love this little moment where Pierce is like, yeah, people were stoked when I showed up, too.
Sure. Jeff looks sad, gets notes from Annie. Makes everyone else feel bad, except Britta, because she's heartless.
That's true. She, like I said, she's there to call him out.
It's so weird, because she's not heartless. She just isn't fooled.
She's the only one not falling for it.
But it makes me dislike her at that point. I guess it's because I like Jeff for some reason I shouldn't. The fact that she does not like Jeff is why I don't like her, maybe.
It is weird. It makes you question your perception of people.
But once she's kind of okay with Jeff, maybe that's when I start liking her.
Yeah, that might make some sense. There might be something to that.
Or like the character that dislikes your favorite character.
Well, wait. I was thinking about Lost there for a second.
Well, then kind of they're like mortal enemies. You're allowed to like villains.
Yeah, villains are okay.
Like, you can like Lex Luthor, but...
But you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't like Lex Luthor.
That guy's a dick. But,
yeah, he is.
All right, let's see. I just have like a general synopsis of the episode.
All right. Jeff and Britta are discussing Jeff's douchiness and how Jeff uses everyone. So Abed just happens to show up right then. Want me to bring your car around? Thanks, Abed. Great timing for Jeff. She leaves. Pierce shows up. tells Jeff that he can have her.
Yeah. Oh, throughout it's so heartbreaking. Throughout the whole episode, you see Pierce trying to get in good and bond with Jeff.
You know, Jeff, you can't pursue people so desperately. It starts to creep them out.
Yeah, that's a great line.
And then later on, they'll have their sausage fest, as Pierce calls it. Way to go, Pierce. Trying to be cool.
Trying to be hip.
Not working. Ever. Annie and Shirley talk to Britta about the protest in Guatemala.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. We did. We missed the moment where she's talking about the situation in Guatemala. And it's like, and then it turns out, and I was like, spoiler alert. She's like, yeah, you know, oh, Ben, real stories don't have spoilers. It's not.
But see, that's another place where I can identify with Abed because I've done that before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I should be sad or happy.
Happy to finally be represented.
Okay, let's go with that one. There's not enough super TV nerds. Thank you, Abed. We love you. At least Brian does. I like you as a friend.
Dad, don't ruin it for me, man.
And they get super excited about having a protest. I can make brownies.
Yeah.
We can have a candlelight vigil like lesbians have on the news.
Clearly missing the point.
That's how Annie is. She just seems like the innocent rich girl.
Yeah, that's how she seems.
At least at first is how she seems.
Yeah, that's how she, yeah.
Especially with that line.
Yeah.
You know, she feels also, if you've watched Scrubs, she seems kind of like Elliot.
You're right. Yeah, I can see the similarities there.
There have been a couple rants that I've heard so far where I'm like, I swear it was Elliot doing the rant instead. But I'm cool with that because I liked her on that show too. not her. I like Sarah. I like Sarah Chalk on Scrubs, just like I like Allison Brie on Community. There we go. I like all of them. I don't like dislike any character, which is rare for me.
That's a good ensemble.
Then Senior Chang, his first appearance.
Senior Chang, like Chang's father, the older, the eldest Chang.
Senior Chang is my father.
Senior Chang.
Nope, this is his first scene. How'd you feel about it?
Kind of a huge, larger-than-life intro, but that's kind of what that character needs, I guess.
I was overwhelmed.
It's like, oh god, this is all this stuff. I don't know if I can handle it.
He just punches you in the face with him. Oh, he's so intense. Why do you teach Spanish? Why not photography? Why not martial arts? And El Tigre Chino is a Spanish name. In a different episode later on, you can see his office. He has tigers everywhere.
Yeah, I like it. And you actually have Abed later call him El Tigre.
I like Senor Chang. Starburns is his first appearance.
Oh, the first of many Starburns appearances. Again, you know, at this point, these just seem like people to me, but then, like, the initial joke that they're built on, like, the first couple episodes with Senor Chang, just hearing Senor Chang cracked me up.
I know. Well, Starburns, I did not expect I thought he was just going to be in a scene, and then he's a secondary character now.
Yeah, he's a guy.
Community's very smart to do the thing that made Simpsons and Futurama and all those shows so popular. Family Guy, they all have their really strong cast of secondaries.
Yeah, it's good.
Scrubs had that. It really helps the show when you have all those who can come in for a joke or two, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It works. That way you don't have to make up new characters all the time. Hands are 90% of Spanish?
Yeah.
Oh, what was great. That?
Oh man. I want to talk about something that happens at the end of the season, but I shall not spoil it for you.
Okay, good. I might watch some of that later tonight. We'll see. Then Jeff trades his shirt with Abed.
That's right. I like the thing with Abed having eyeballed the shirt since registration day.
And then Jeff just wears it out. It looks weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks quite comedic. They very intentionally picked that shirt. But it looks completely normal on Abed. Jeff's like, oh, okay, it's kind of creepy.
There's a lot that he will do, apparently, to get with Britta.
That's true, and you see that desperation, and then you know, in return, you see Pierce doing the same thing just to have a chance to get to know Jeff.
$100 trading.
Yeah, offered $100. Later, you hear her say, like, oh, Pierce offered me $100. You never get a clear picture on if she, like, took him up on it. Like, yeah, all right, $100, let's do that.
I bet. Well, I mean, she seems nice. She's nice. She would have done it for fun. And to be nice to him. Oh, yeah, also, we didn't even go over. Pierce is rich. Really, really rich.
Yeah, yeah, I guess he's retired now. He's an entrepreneur of Hawthorne Wipes.
Yeah, which is weird.
Made his money in the moist towelette business.
But yeah, that's how we can probably well, I mean, it's not too hard to afford it, so never mind. That doesn't make sense. It's not like he's going to Yale.
Yeah, and the clothing choices for that character early on, kind of weird.
His tinted sunglasses really got on my nerves at first.
I like the glasses.
Well, yeah, I got used to it. I'm like, okay, it's cool now. But at first I'm like, seriously, why are you doing this? Pierce.
Oh, Pierce.
Pierce talks about how his business is the opposite of Wipes. Hard, dry, big.
That's great. Oh yeah, we get a lot about Pierce here. I love
hypervirility.
Hypervirility. I love that's how he chooses to look at it.
Shoots through the egg like bullets.
It's like, yeah, can't have kids because it shoots through the egg like a bullet.
See how many weird, inappropriate, bizarre things he can say in this one scene.
Let's see. And he pulls out the liquor. It's like, let's have a little drink. Hemingway's lemonade.
Pierce.
I love his toast. To the empowerage of words.
To the irony of that sentence. I that's one of my favorite lines so far. The empowerage of... Because I make up words all the time, but he didn't seem to...
Are you saying you do it well?
No, I do it accidentally and then admit that I made up a word accidentally.
Right. That's not real.
Like induct earlier, or introduct.
Yeah, induct is a word.
Induct is a word. Introduct.
You randomly make up words and then take away other words' current standing. Like, yeah, you know what, guys, I don't have nothing.
Oh, so close.
So close.
If only we had a Dan Harmon on hand to write an awesome line.
Oh, God, that would be... Too intimidating to have a Dan Harmon around.
I know, it's true. And then Pierce makes fun of Britta.
Yeah.
What is she, a water filter? She's ugly. Forget her.
Oh, Pierce.
Oh, he has a thing for Shirley, though. A creepy, creepy thing.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though.
It is still creepy. Britta shows up to the Guatemala protest.
That's true. We're there playing music. It's resembling more of a party than a protest.
Yeah, raise the truth.
If you love that brownie, you're going to hate what's going on in Guatemala.
Britta calls the whole thing tacky. Shirley and Annie get mad at her. She's like, oh, wow, I really don't do anything. You're right. I know people like that, too, who worry about all these different causes. Don't really care to do anything about it.
You know a handful of Brittas?
I know what... At least one or two Brittas.
All right. I don't think I know any Brittas.
I don't know anyone who pronounces it bagel. Spoiler alert.
Oh, you've ruined it.
People have already watched it. If they're listening to this, they're ahead of where I am right now.
Hopefully.
One of my favorite parts of the episode is the pinata of the man who was beaten to death.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we got the idea. That just made me sad, but also...
Made you both happy and sad?
Yes. Wink.
Bummer Patrol.
Then Pierce and Jeff are working on it. Giant plot on the board.
Oh, God, I love... Oh, I'd like to pause it and look at what's written on that board.
I haven't done that yet. I need to. It's really long, confusing, a little homophobic, surprisingly and gratuitously against Israel. Troy and Abed show up. Talk about ladies in the mood for social change at the protest.
That's true. Yes, and really, really, really good. Like early Troy and Abed moment where you kind of start to see the chemistry between those two characters, which they I'm not gonna say they milk it. They definitely lean on that a lot moving forward, which, yeah, rightfully so.
They're really good together. It seems that's part of what helped Troy change from just super jock to a little bit still of a dumb nerd, which is weird to say, but he's a dumb nerd.
Yeah, it's true. They, again, I don't want to just keep regurgitating things from the DVD, but they, yeah, Harmon.
That's fine.
Harmon talks about on the I just call him Harmon because that's how we roll. he talks about on the DVD how if you look at the episode tags throughout the season, it's kind of like this contained story about Troy having his first actual friend as opposed to his high school experience where he was like the sports star and real popular
and ignored Annie.
And ignored Annie. So now he's actually making this connection with this guy and becoming a better person because of it.
It's true. That's why I like Troy now. I didn't at first because I've known lots of jocks.
Tell me more.
Well, actually, they were all like super friendly to everyone. Liked me
okay.
At school. Like no one hated
me. I wasn't hated. I was just overlooked.
They were friendly with me.
Oh.
A couple of the cheerleaders would even like say hi in the hallway. I was like, cool.
What? No, that's it.
Yes.
I can't podcast with you anymore.
Well, they wouldn't be like, hi? "Hey, let's go party." They'd just say hi because I was in like their chemistry and calculus classes, and if like in class when we had to get in little groups, they always asked like me and a couple other people for help, and I helped them.
Oh, you're the smart guy.
Yeah,
we got this science project's due next week. And I got cheer squad.
No, not like that. But it's also cool because I feel like I've known some Annies too.
Huh.
And so, like, I don't know. That's another reason I like the show so much. I can identify with like recognizing a lot of these characters. I've known very many Jeffs.
Yeah, few of us ever have the pleasure of meeting actual Jeffs.
Jeff. I know some Shirleys. Haven't met a super inappropriate Pierce character.
Yeah, Pierce yet.
No. Oh, this is just a teeny bit off topic because it makes me think of Abed. All right, I might just be because of television, but I feel like I should have like witnessed a proposal for engagement sometime in my life, and I never have.
Huh? Like
you see it all the time on television. Like you always see people getting engaged and everyone clapping, but I feel like I've never seen it and that I'm missing out.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone become engaged in person either. It's
For me, it just feels like it's something that I'm supposed to have witnessed by now.
I think what you're telling me is you want to propose to someone.
No,
now's not the time. We'll talk after the show.
I'm not proposing to you.
Oh, heartbreaker.
I have a girlfriend, Brian.
Oh, so do I, man. So.
Whatever.
Oh, you're such a mean jock.
I'm not a Troy. I think we're both Abeds.
I don't know. It's good. I'd rather be that than Pierce.
No one wants to be a Pierce.
I find Pierce upsettingly relatable at times. Not the horrible inappropriate racist things he says, but
okay. Like I've never heard you say inappropriate racist things. Well, I'm not sure. Well, I happen to see inappropriate things about stabbing hobos, so maybe you are a little bit of Pierce.
I don't think Pierce would say that, and you did not have the context. Context is king. You need to have it.
Whatever. But Troy and Abed do the assignment in like 15 seconds.
Yeah, now they just have to know a handful of Spanish phrases.
Jeff bails on their first sausage fest.
Yep. Arrives at the candlelight vigil. Pays a dude for a sign, stands there doing the thing, trying to get close to Britta, and that's when Pierce drunkenly crashes the the protest.
You think you're so cool with your hip shirts, your gelled hair, and your cool tape over your mouth.
Oh.
Reveals that he's fake again. Reveals to Britta that Jeff is fake.
And pretending to care about the things she cares about.
Which I'm pretty sure she could have guessed.
Yeah.
She knew him from the last episode.
She's fairly smart, but I love this moment between Troy and Abed at that point, though, where Abed leans over to Troy and says, "Conflicts like these will ultimately bring us together as an unlikely family."
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm starting to feel like that now, like seeing those moments in real life, except they never end up the way they should, so it's disappointing. Jeff tells Pierce, go hold some waitress hostage with a story about your sperm. I'll show you some sperm, buddy, and he catches fire.
Yeah.
And apparently jumps in the fountain, but that was off screen. I wish I could have seen that.
That would have been quite humorous.
Back in Spanish the next morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Pierce comes in, he explains the thing, the falling out, and Senor Chang clearly thinks Pierce is crazy. It's like, well, I think the only humane thing to do is give you a C and let Pierce continue the presentation on his own.
But, oh, right before that, Shirley and Annie come in super excited that they made the newspaper, the real newspaper. There's a Marmaduke in there.
Oh, I know you.
I like that line because Marmaduke. I hate Marmaduke. Yeah. I hate Marmaduke.
He's in real newspapers, Ben. You can't deny this.
It's funny because he's a dog.
He's really big. You get it?
He's a big, giant dog. That's why it's funny.
Now we're never coming.
The headline, Flaming Senior Alarms Campus. Oh, their performance was so weird.
Oh, man, that was the highlight of the episode.
I like the line music. I like Senior Chang. These are short conversations. They're not supposed to take your breath away.
that whole montage was fantastic.
Puppets, maracas, tiny sombreros, flags, fairy wings,
robots,
afro wigs, yeah, robots rowing a desk canoe, and Annie was captured in the middle. Silly string fight, sparklers.
And then they get Chang assigns them F and F minus.
What? Did you say S?
S. That was good. And that was a
S?
That was an improv by Chevy.
Oh, that was? Yeah. I really like that one. Because it doesn't even make sense. Why would he say S?
Satisfactory?
Oh, it's not the kindergarten.
Pierce doesn't know. I guess
Jeff and Britta moment. Britta's being all, you'll never get me.
Like, oh, that was such a selfless thing for you to do. And he's like, how do you know I wasn't doing it to impress you? I was like, well, you should know any woman in that room can't look at you as a sexually valuable candidate moving forward. It's like, I knew that.
And she looked back.
That's true. And then you have Jeff and Pierce coming together to walk down. Nice little bonding moment. End of the episode.
And the outro was a Spanish 101 rap.
Yes, the unforgettable Spanish 101 rap.
I love it.
It's fantastic. All right, let's see. And then we move on to the third episode of the season, or the series, in fact. Introduction
of our
film,
session.
Of the session, you're right. intro to film is the Jeff and Abed episode, and that's a fairly interesting one. That's gives you a lot of insight into Abed's character. And
touching moment at the end.
Yeah, it delivers, you know, I talked about the thing with Jeff and Troy in the pilot, but delivers what is probably the first really genuinely touching moment of the series.
Yeah, that's true. And there's plenty of racist quotes in this one.
Oh, right.
plenty of
them. That's what we like to hear.
That makes it sound racist. Racist quotes. That's what we like to hear. No, we're not racist. At least I'm not. I can't speak for Brian.
I don't think I am.
I don't think you are either, okay. From what I can tell.
Oh, thank God. So this episode has Jeff in the one of several ultimate blow-off classes with the professor who thinks he's in Dead Poets Society.
Accounting with Professor Whitman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They deliver that really well. This is no way to teach accounting.
I can't remember that guy, Professor Whitman's actor name, but I know I really like him. I like his voice, and I don't know how he talks.
His actor name.
His real name, I guess, is a better right. His actor.
His
name.
Show name. Like a pen name.
No, he was in Arrested Development in several episodes. As Wayne Jarvis, the very serious.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, I forgot.
He voted worst participant at Cirque du Soleil.
Oh.
I shall hide behind the couch. I love that guy.
Such a professional.
But, yeah, I saw him in this, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Wayne Jarvis. It's super exciting.
He's one of those guys where you've seen him in a handful of things. Like, oh, that guy, I like him a lot. But you never remember his name.
Yep. I need to remember it because he's so funny. But anyway, this is he's one of my favorite professors so far. I'm not counting John Oliver because I liked him like a lot from Daily Show. It doesn't count.
Because
he's all my favorite.
So you're blinded by his work on the Daily Show. You can't judge him solely based on Community.
No, but he. All right, I have two favorites. They're all my favorites. I don't dislike anyone on the show yet.
I like Tony Hale in the pottery episode's fantastic.
Oh, no ghosting.
Oh yeah, he points to the board. Picture Patrick Swayze. Oh, it's okay. I made it before he died. It's not distasteful.
Oh, spoiler alerts! But I can't help it. They're funny. Oh. Anyway,
hilarious guy on guy.
Oh.
Okay. Introduction film, accounting, Dead Poet Society. Jeff feels like he found the ultimate blow-off class, but inexplicably, he's picked out as the one person in the class who isn't seizing the day. So that becomes his quest throughout the episode.
Open your books. Close them. Now throw your books away. Quick, take off your shoes. Throw them away. Get up and walk out the door.
Stand on your desk.
All your life you've been told not to stand on your desk. Rise above the programming. And then that girl falls.
It's okay. Go to the nurse's office. Seize the day.
Oh, Professor.
Oh, man. That was...
I like at the start when he first sits down as that zoned out kid next to him. Do you... Is this class good? Is it blow-off class? Doesn't say anything. Do you like Dane Cook? Yeah. All right.
Oh, man. Again, it goes back to the DVD. Well, Dan Harmon talks about how they, somewhere along the line, there was, a miscommunication where they blew that joke in the way it was supposed to be. The intent was he's supposed to turn to the kid and say, are you passing this class? And then the kid's supposed to say, yeah. And he's like, do you like Dane Cook? And he says, yeah. He's like, okay. Like, once he gets those two pieces of information. But as it is now, there's no response to the first question.
It still works out.
It still works okay.
Yeah, but every comedy show that I've watched, if they mention Dane Cook, it's not in a favorable way.
Yeah, the one that seems... I don't know. There's the episode of The Office with Take Your Kid to Work Day where Michael's talking to the kids about Dane Cook. You kids like Dane Cook? Yeah, all the 6-year-olds are way into Dane Cook. I don't know what's up with that.
Because he moves around a lot. Moving around in loud sounds, that keeps kids' attention. Family Guy, they made fun of that.
Yeah, it's true.
They parodied Dane Cook on stage. Oh, that was a good one, too. But this isn't a Family Guy podcast.
Oh, no. If it was, we'd have a lot more cutaways and less character development.
This reminds me of that time we podcasted about something else.
Oh.
How would a cutaway work in audio? Would you have to have
a whoosh. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, whooshing sound. Like the first season of Scrubs did a lot.
Yeah, a lot of sound effects in that.
No, you know what? I think we're allowed to talk about all these other shows because this is Community and they do that.
Yeah, that's true.
They do it all the time, so we can randomly reference other shows too.
You think that's bad?
No, that's Family Guy again. Oh, yeah. Remember that time that Brian tried to climb a mountain?
Remember the time I was a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember that time you were my lifeline? Yeah, I got nothing.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a Regis thing.
Oh, see, I can't do it all the time. It makes it less special.
Oh, or it makes it more special. Maybe. Their study group, Pierce, doing voice command on his
fantastic,
phone.
Fantastic, yeah.
Voice command.
Voice command? And here again with the Pierce and Troy connection, I really like the little side story of Troy sneezing like a girl.
I just love Pierce's sneeze class.
Yeah, and then Pierce teaches him how to sneeze like a man, and then the importance of it. It commands respect if you have a real masculine sneeze.
You can get the attention of the room. You can use one to prove your point. And that stuff's all true. That's what makes me happy too. I've heard those sneezes, and they all are exactly what he said. They
all
are.
Exist. And see, in the study room, we have Abed saying, I would join the bluff class, but my dad only pays for classes that will help me run the family business. It's really gone downhill since 2001. 9/11 was the 9/11 of the falafel business.
See, again, three episodes in and two 9/11 jokes, and they're both funny.
I don't know. It's
Maybe it's been long enough that it's okay.
Perhaps.
As long as they're not like mean jokes. But they were both funny.
But then Britta says, "Oh well, you know, she offers to pay for Abed's film class and
four dreams."
The memo says four dreams. I love that Abed shares it with the rest of the group.
Oh,
and then Shirley. Oh man, really, a lot of intolerance early on before they learn to come together. Shirley says, "I don't know if that's a good idea, Britta. Abed's dad's Muslim. They're less forgiving than Christians. He'll cut off your hand with a salami sword."
And then Troy's line, "Did you see Aladdin? Jafar was a badass." And he starts making like sword motions.
Oh yeah. And then he's like, "Oh, that's the most racist thing I've ever heard, Shirley." And Jeff's like, "Oh, Pierce will beat that in 1 minute."
the whole like exchange whenever they're all together, like every line is funny pretty much.
That's true. I love how they all have their assigned seats too.
Yeah. Troy seems like a girl. Jeff points it out. Troy seems like a girl. How about I pound you like a boy? That didn't come out right.
Yes, another great Troy line.
That's a place right there where I can identify with Troy saying something, and they're like, "Oh, no." That happened earlier to us, I think. Yeah, I was your Yang.
Oh, that's right. This very podcast.
Shirley, you're not my mother. She's not. 29
seconds.
29 seconds. Oh, Pierce.
Gotta love Pierce. And let's see. And then, we go back to the accounting class for a second. We see Abed making with a camera. It's like, how's the film class going? It's like, my first project's a documentary. It's like a real movie, but with ugly people.
Oh. Whitman is talking to Shirley at the front of the class. Tell me why you're at Greendale. You get an A.
Oh, yeah. Sell my baked goods on the internet.
Whitman knows Winger's faking it.
How does he do that?
Whitman's good. He knows if someone's seizing the day or not.
Actually seizing the day.
And then it gives Winger his plot for the episode.
Yep, that's his mission statement, to seize the day.
If you don't seize a day by the end of the week, get an F.
Get an F for the semester. You won't just fail the class, you'll fail at life. I found that line funnier than I probably should have.
Oh. And they're filming.
Yeah, and then we had the confrontation between Britta and Abed's dad.
Oh, that was a funny one. When he first shows up, Jeff, holy war.
And after a little bit of back and forth, it's like, all right, well, if you want to take care of him, you know, he's your responsibility, leaving, Britta with some sense of responsibility to take care of Abed. It's like,
dreams are for sleeping.
That's a good line. She's talking about like all the things that she needs, like, we need to do this and pay for the class. And he needs spending money. Jeff says, all money, spending money.
That's true. I've never thought about that.
No, this is collectible money. I need to keep it in a case to display.
Yeah, all money is spending money. If someone ever asks me for my financials, I'm just going to say that. And then they're going to get mad at me, so I better not. The Jeff approach never really works in real life. Abed says Jeff should play Abed's father. I don't want to be your father. Great.
You already know your lines.
That comes in it's later.
Yeah, I love how all the things he films come together in the very end.
Sad.
Oh, so sad. So heartbreaking.
They're in the cafeteria. Now they're in the cafeteria.
Yeah, they're in the cafeteria. Jeff's trying to seize the day.
Why are you dressed like an 80s rapist?
That's a good line. Suspenders, light up tie.
Oh, he looks so weird. He's trying.
And then Whitman comes by just as he orders a small black coffee. Boo.
I like a birthday cake.
Oh.
I kind of want to try that somewhere.
Throw the menu.
I'll go into a Starbucks. That's why I love his character so much. But in a later episode, he's a lot more calm when he's a debate coach.
Yeah, it's true. It's almost like a different person. Not quite.
Still funny.
But, you know, we have Abed, you know, trailing them for a while and spending money carelessly, you know. I guess later on we find out that he's intentionally pushing Britta's buttons to get a reaction for the film, you think?
Yeah. And Britta realizes that later.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not a very nice way to treat your friends. Well, Britta, isn't a friend business. It's called show business.
Oh, that's a great line. So, and then, you know, it all builds up to the point where, you know, Abed's buying lattes for everyone in the study room. And the guy, just quick note, guy that delivers the lattes, Badger from Breaking Bad.
Oh, I wouldn't know that anyway, because I haven't seen it.
You recognize from his voice once you see him, like, oh, that guy with the real, you know, the gravelly voice.
Oh,
that dude's your dad? That's his line at the end of the scene.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually in the next episode as a different character, I think. Or maybe the same character on his day off.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, he's like a, wow. Like a, I don't know, it's like beyond secondary. He just kind of shows up occasionally.
Tertiary character.
Quite. Let's see. And then, you know, Britta storms out. And then, you know, Jeff leaves and, you know, he realizes it's his duty to bring everyone back together. They meet up in the,
as always,
he has to be the hero. So, you know, he brings everyone together and then Abed, you know, he's finished his film. He shows the final product, six candles and, you know, really, really kind of tough to watch. So
it's so sad.
It is basically about how, you know, he was born and, you know, the way he felt, and then how his mother left them when he was 6 years old.
Oh, I don't want to be your father. And then, like Jeff, doesn't.
Yeah, I love how he's having this great, you know, moment with his dad, and he's like, "Well, if this helps you, you know, you're hard to understand. If this helps you be understood, I'll pay for the class." I love how Jeff and Britta seem to be completely oblivious to what's going on, though.
I think that, but I wouldn't feel good if I were in that
position.
She's like
pointing to herself. I get this.
Oh, that's sad though. I like the way he ends it.
Oh yeah, cool Abed films.
Cool Abed. I love that part.
Yeah, that's the end of the episode. Gives you a lot of insight to Abed's character. You know, his background.
That it does. It's very sad background.
Sad. And the tag at the end is the crumping.
Oh, yeah. I love the tags. I always love the tags.
Tags are always really strong. Okay, moving on to the fourth episode of this first session. It is social psychology, and it is a Jeff and Shirley-centric episode, I would call it.
I would agree with that.
And fun fact, this is the introduction of Ben's favorite secondary character, Mr. Vaughn.
I don't like Vaughn. Why would you say that? I know people like Vaughn, or I have known people like Vaughn, and they are just the same reason they don't like Vaughn.
They play hacky sack, say hello three times. Hello, how are you? What's up?
But some of those, yeah. A lot of people have the same Vaughnish qualities. Shirtless. The
no worries.
Always wet hair.
I don't know, but then, I don't know, because they do turn Vaughn into a sympathetic character by the end of this episode.
Yeah, but then later on, in the next episode, he's not anymore.
Yeah, they don't really let that last too long.
He doesn't deserve it. He's Vaughn.
He is Vaughn, but we'll get to Vaughn in a second. Also, in the Annie storyline, we have her working with Ian Duncan,
ooh.
I believe, Professor Duncan,
yeah,
on the study of the Duncan Principle. And Ben, could you explain to our students at home what the Duncan Principle is?
Yes, according to Dr. Duncan, the longer the ego waits, the more ground is taken by the id, resulting in a predictable emotion eruption, also known as, Brian,
Good old ranch and tantrum. Yeehaw.
That was just Southern. I need the British Southern accent.
Oh, good old fashioned tantrum. Yeehaw.
Oh, that was weird.
I apologize.
All right, now try doing a British Southern German tantrum.
I can't even begin to process what that would sound like.
Okay.
Chan, how about Professor Duncan, if he were a character on Friends?
Which one?
Could I be any more British?
Oh, Chandler. How about Joey? We need a British. How you doing?
How you? Yeah, I don't do accents or voices.
You do voices.
I have to work endlessly to maintain this one.
They will get bust out eventually. Anyway, so which storyline should we follow first?
Let's tackle the Duncan principle.
Literally.
Let's literally tackle it. Literally. So, you know, it starts with Annie asking Duncan if she can take part in the study, even though, you know, it's reserved for second-year students, and he accepts, you know, letting her know up front, like, I've been here. I have to let you know I can't date students. It's like, oh, okay, that's good. Good to know.
I wonder how often Duncan, like, does get propositioned by students for him to say that. Either he does a lot or he just thinks he should.
maybe a little from column A, a little from column B.
B feels a lot more like Pierce, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see a little bit Pierce and Duncan, though. And let's not...
Ew.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Didn't think
that's
that
not something
through.
You want.
No. It's like chocolate and peanut butter, though. It's like, oh, you got Pierce and my Duncan. Like, you got Duncan and my Pierce.
Ew.
Stop.
I'm thinking like donut earrings now. When you say, you got Duncan and my Pierce. Either way, don't make fun of my Duncan. I like John Oliver. He's awesome.
Me too. Me too. I mean, he's no Chevy Chase. Man's a national treasure, but he's...
Well, Chevy Chase is no John Oliver. Because they're different.
Fair point. fair point.
No one is a Chevy Chase except anyone named Chevy Chase.
Or that lives in Chevy Chase.
That's true. Is that Maryland?
I forget where Chevy Chase is located. Maybe Maryland.
Or now it might be L.A.
Yeah. But the Duncan principal, Annie's required to bring two test subjects, so she approaches Troy, who's like, he has some questions about butt stuff. But
butt questions? That's what you expect from Troy.
You get more money? I don't know. Yeah, it's very in character. And Abed has plans to go to an Indiana Jones marathon.
Yes.
Not the fourth one. Really excited about the first three.
Fourth one blows.
Yes.
Aliens. And,
let's not get into this again.
They don't belong.
They do. I agree that it's not a great film, but the aliens don't ruin the film. The aliens are in line with all the mythical things that were in the previous three.
But all of those mythical things are earthly supernatural things. This is like space stuff.
Yeah, but the crystal skulls, that's a documented thing, right? Well,
I don't... Is it?
I don't know the crew. You know, I'm just saying. I find the crystal skulls as believable, if not more, than the things that happened in the other one. Melting Nazis.
Melting Nazis is somewhere believable than alien skulls.
Ark of the Covenant
makes more sense than crystal alien skulls and the giant UFO hidden under the piles of rubble.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
That was the stupidest part of the movie.
That was the very end. They waited until the very end, and it was like a giant middle finger to the audience.
Exactly.
And
seriously.
I laughed joyfully. Okay.
Anyway.
Back to community. You know, Abed, you know, she asked for his help because, you know, they're friends, and Abed says, oh, I never realized we're really good friends. I always figured we're more like Chandler and Phoebe. They never really had stories together. Sure, I'll do it, Chandler.
Why does he want to be Phoebe?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks Annie has more of a Chandler personality.
I don't know.
Although, if you think about
drug
it...
Drug user.
If you had to connect...
Well, Matthew Perry was the first couple seasons, you can tell.
I know.
He got off of the drugs, he really started getting back to normal looking. But and she, little Annie Adderall. I don't
Fair
think that's
enough,
but, connected, though.
I don't know, but if you had to compare Abed to a Friends character, it would have to be Phoebe.
Why? Phoebe's all spacey.
Phoebe was weird, Abed's, you know, I find him relatable. Fine, okay, Gunther, but who really wants to be Gunther?
No, but nobody. Well, isn't Phoebe, like, didn't she care about things?
Yeah, she's That's, emotional. Yeah, okay, fine. You're shooting holes through my theory. Nobody like wants to
speak there. More like a soft-hearted version of Britta.
He would be Paul Rudd in the final season of Friends.
Paul Rudd was in the final season of Friends?
He played Phoebe's husband, Mike.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Pianist.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Anyway, wow, we're good at getting off track about other TV shows.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's fine. It makes sense because it's Abed stuff. So.
Okay, fair enough.
It's what his head does, I'm sure.
Okay, in that scene we also have Pierce with the earnoculars, but we won't focus too much on that. I just like the phrase earnocular.
So stupid, too. But also, that's worth it, stupid. Not so stupid.
I also like him bringing his mail to campus to open it up. Look what I got.
Because they always do that on TV shows, so I'm glad they did that.
it felt like almost breaking the fourth wall, but it also kind of felt like a sad Pierce moment. Like, I'm bringing, oh, what could this be?
Oh, Pierce.
Oh, Pierce.
You feel sorry for him, and then, like, 3 seconds later, he says something horribly racist.
Yes, indeed. So we get to the study, and that's where Duncan explains what we've already explained to you about the Duncan principle, and how he has everyone waiting in the room, and they keep saying like, "Oh, we'll be ready in 5 minutes."
So it works.
He sends Annie in to tell them it'll be starting in 5 minutes, and Senor Chang's there. He's like, "What? A Spanish teacher doesn't need $80?" And she says, "Okay, well, we'll be starting in 5 minutes." And then Chang is the first one to flip out, starts throwing chairs.
His extreme personality—he really has—he has issues.
He does.
He needs to work those out. Ill. Yeah.
Should I just wait until season two?
Oh no!
No.
He scared me in Modern Warfare. So.
Oh man, he was fantastic.
His maniacal laugh during the self-detonation.
Can't wait to get to that.
Yeah, Duncan needs to analyze him somehow. Of course, Duncan has problems too, so never mind.
Yeah, oh man, he's one of the worst. But then they continue one by one. We see people lose it. All the unimportant characters. Of course, the first one to lose it, Chang, and then it keeps going until we're left with our two characters, Troy and Abed.
The R2 and C-3PO.
Yes, is Abed C-3PO?
Yeah, he seems taller.
Taller and more robotic?
Yeah, he is more. I could see him being C-3PO. Have they done that yet in a tag?
Maybe. I don't want to spoil it. Maybe.
Oh.
We'll see. But, Annie comes in. Oh, it'll be 5 more minutes. Troy, he flips out. Like, oh, the Soul Train Awards are on tonight. Why would you do this to me?
He crawls out of the room. Like, I have never seen people have any of that kind of reaction. Any of theirs.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you can tell when Troy has that reaction. Annie feels a little bad. And,
I wonder why.
And then there was one, Abed alone. And it cuts to them, I think, 26 hours later?
Yeah, 26 or 28, somewhere around there.
Somewhere in there. 26 hours, and Abed's still waiting. No emotion. He's not showing it. And, and then at that point, then Duncan inadvertently proves his own principle and starts to flip out.
I love what he says. Subjects, not Rain Man over there. Little Annie Fanny Panties in a punch. He really freaks out.
Yeah. And then I love how the students then begin to take notes on him.
Yeah. Oh, I had a question about one of those students. The boy with the glasses. I've seen him a few more times. What is his name?
Garrett, yes.
Garrett, okay.
It's Garrett.
I've seen him a few times, and I just didn't know who he was.
He's recurring, and you have most, I think, he's featured in this episode, and then I think the next major screen time he gets is in the episode, where his job is to deliver to Jeff the speech about how it got out of hand.
Yeah, Yeah, okay. I thought that was the same guy. Just making sure. He was the alien.
It is.
In the episode with Abed and Troy trying to get each other because they're friends. That's what friends do.
That's true. He's one of many, many secondary characters, which is, you know, one thing I like about the show.
Speaking of Abed's meaning of friends, because that happens in that episode, too, where he wants to have friends. It seems like he's never had them before, really, Abed. And that he's trying to understand how friendship works with Troy. And it happens in this episode, too, with Annie, the friendship thing.
That's true. I didn't really think about that. Yeah, that kind of is his arc through the season.
Although, I guess it's kind of all their arc. Is. Yeah. But especially for him, because he always seems like he never really had friends.
Yeah, especially for him and Troy.
Yeah.
You get the sense that that's really the first really good true friendship they've been in. And that, yeah, you throughout the tags, throughout the year, the season, you kind of see how that affects them. And it's pretty interesting.
I liked it so far. Yeah, like, Troy usually surrounded by just, you know, probably people who are just shallow friends of his. Being a super jock, that's all he cared about was being popular. But that episode's for next week.
Oh, yeah. Gotta save it for that one. So Duncan loses it, and then Annie tells Abed to go home. And then she sees him the next day, and she's like, well, you know, what happened? Weren't you upset? He's like, oh, yeah, I was livid. It's like, then why didn't you leave? He's like, oh, yeah, you said we were friends, and that's what friends do, so I stayed.
Is he desperate for friendship? It makes me sad.
I'm not sure if you'd be desperate, but
well, I mean, Troy seemed like he would be her friend, at least now, a little bit.
Yeah,
I think a real friend would still get frustrated, not want to stay there 26 hours.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That's someone who just wants a friend.
But you know, then Annie of course feels bad, comes back later. With an apology gift of the first three Indiana Jones films on DVD because the fourth one blows. Although, you know, I guess I shouldn't really have thought too much about it, but I kind of found myself like, knowing Abed, I bet he already owns those, but whatever.
Yeah, probably.
It's the thought that counts.
She tried. What about the fifth one? Aren't they making a fifth one?
I hope not. Oh, God.
I heard they are.
That would be terrible.
And I think Shia LaBeouf's still in it.
Oh no!
Oh no!
I hate it when you deliver bad news to me on the podcast.
Oh, you can just hear how the rest of the podcast goes downhill in tone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's that would be similar to you saying, "And it was a pretty good episode." But by the way, you have 3 months to live, and
jeez.
Moving on. Oh, okay.
Well, then I would have to podcast the season 3 Community by myself.
Oh, yeah. No, you can handle it, though. I'm training you.
I don't know.
Yeah. So if you strike me down, I'll be more powerful than you can imagine.
Why would I strike you down?
I will just be a ghost.
Wait, I thought I was Luke and you were Obi-Wan.
I don't know.
Why am I
kind of lost track of it.
Oh. In the other storyline.
Oh, yes. Jeff and Shirley.
Shirley.
Jurley.
Or Chef.
Chef? I like Chef.
Chef. Chef Jurley.
But, you know, Jeff and Shirley go to the same class, and Jeff is finding awkward to walk with her because they don't have anything to talk about. Not, you know, I've had moments like that when I was in school.
Me too. I've had it if, like, a bunch of us are eating lunch together, and then almost everyone leaves but two of us, and it's someone you don't really talk to that often, you're kind of stuck because you haven't finished your pizza, and you paid for that pizza.
Yeah, it's true. It's a relatable situation, and I don't know if it's. I might be looking too much into it. It might be intentional, but it kind of feels similar to Abed's Chandler and Phoebe line. So
these
two characters don't really feel like they should gel together, and they. But
Annie and Pierce.
Oh, man. Oh, wait until that thing.
Oh, I'm scared now. I can't see them having many storylines together.
Oh, man. Oh, this is really difficult doing this when we're not on the same page.
I'm so scared. What page are you on?
I'm at the end of chapter 2.
Oh, yeah. I haven't finished chapter 1 yet.
When you get to that point where Pierce murders Annie, oh my god, what? You never see it coming.
Pretty sure she's still... Is that why she wasn't at the Comic-Con panel?
Exactly. Oh. She is not on the show.
Oh, jeez.
She's been replaced by Sarah Chalk.
What? No.
It's Roseanne all over again.
What is she up to, Sarah Chalk?
I don't know.
Any of them,
doing what she does. Sarah Chalk things. Are we gonna talk about the whereabouts of the Scrubs cast? Because I don't like going down these paths.
We did it with Malcolm in the Middle once, and that just ended up depressing. It's always one person is doing really well still.
Yeah, it was like a chorus of like, oh, but you know, Bryan Cranston, he's really, really found his place.
Yeah, but even like Frankie Muniz, who you think should still be doing well, based on his being a, I don't know, young star. Nope.
Emmy nominee? I'm assuming he got an Emmy nomination.
Probably.
You know who got Emmy nominations? Bryan Cranston.
You know what didn't? Community.
Oh, God. Let's not talk about it.
This is a community podcast. This is where we talk about it.
Let's not talk about the Emmy nominations, though, because they are meaningless.
And sad.
They don't recognize quality.
They're not meaningless to, like, television networks.
I guess you're right. But let's see. Eventually, Jeff and Shirley find that they can bond over mocking other people, which, you know, whatever works, whatever can bring you together.
Especially someone's new boyfriend.
Yes, yeah, talking about Vaughn. All the things we've said earlier, the three hellos, no worries.
Micro nipples.
Which, yeah, I know you were wondering if that was real, but it was makeup, according to the DVD.
So. I was wondering. I thought it might be like a lot of shows do, where they make fun of things about the actual person. Like, why they always called Jeff Seacrest.
That's
a Joel McHale thing, too, not just a Jeff thing.
Yeah, that's a recurring soup thing.
Yeah.
The top soup.
So I thought maybe, but, like, whatever, what's-his-face Olsen. Maybe that was just a thing about him, and they made fun of him for it.
You thought it was like a casting call? Like, everybody take your shirt off, we need to measure, and,
Well, I thought they could find something weird about them and make that the joke.
I don't know. You know what I'm sorry, I'm yelling. I'm really upset because I didn't know until, like, a week ago that Peter Falk had a glass eye.
Which one's that?
Columbo, Peter Falk.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Peter Sellers. But that's not Columbo. That's the Pink Panther.
Yeah, no, I was oblivious to this my entire life, and then when I found out, it hit me like, oh god,
wow,
right.
My 11th grade English teacher
did have a glass eye.
Did.
How did I not know that?
It's not the same thing that my 11th grade English teacher did too, but she did.
And it turns out, according to my notations, it was actually Peter Falk's glass eye they found in the aero station.
It's not McHale's.
No, it's not Joel McHale's.
Oh. Anyway.
Mocking others, making fun of Vaughn, which is a tough place for Jeff because, you know, he's trying to find his footing with Britta. You know, what is the nature of the relationship if he's been hitting on her? How does he settle back to a regular friendship?
But, he's too cool to admit that he's jealous.
Yeah, that's true. And then you have Britta opening up about the relationship, talking openly, like, oh, it's kind of weird. I think you might be thinking more about it than I am. And then she shares with him a poem that he wrote. And I love Jeff pulling out his phone, like, oh, I'm getting a text, and then taking a photo of it.
I wish I had a copy of that poem on me right now. Not prepared enough, though.
There's a teardrop over the word rad.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But then Jeff takes it and shows Shirley, and then it eventually makes its way back to the study group, and everyone's having a good time mocking Vaughn.
Vaughn.
First or last name.
And middle. V-O-N.
And really, in a cringeworthy scene that's, it rivals some of the things on The Office, but, you know, not all of it. You have Vaughn coming in and finding them, making fun of the poem.
Oh.
And then, it's sad. Leaves. sad and broken.
And then Pierce uses his ear-noculars. He's crying. Now he's barking.
Oh, I love that scene.
Pierce.
And we have this end. This leads to the end of the Von Britta relationship, or the Bon?
Vritta. You don't hear the VR often enough in words.
That's true. You have, like, vroom.
That's about it.
That's it. That's the one.
Vroom.
But, they break up. Then, Jeff and Shirley, they figure that this friendship of mocking others is kind of toxic. They have to cut it back. We get the reveal that Shirley was kicked out of another study group earlier in the year.
Oh, the nickname there, Tatalina.
Yeah, it was a bumblebee nickname. It was cute, but it stings.
Which I'd never heard of before, and that's awesome.
That is pretty good. And I think that's all the noteworthy events that happen. And at the very end, of course, you have Shirley and Britta walking off talking about Jeff, we assume. Jeff's left alone, and he finds Pierce on a bench without the ear-nocular. He's like, "Hey, you see, Jeffrey, I've learned. I don't need the ear-nocular, because we only hear the people in this space around us. And those people, those are the people that love us."
That didn't even make a whole lot of sense.
I thought it was a good moment. And then you have Jeff saying, like, I hear us call him Inspector Gadget.
Yeah. I do like that you can see him in the background of at least one other scene before, like, it's obvious it's him. You see him, like, trying to sneakily listen in on their gossip. What about Vaughn at the end of the episode? What happened with him and his hacky sack?
Oh, right. Yeah, and the needle drop. Kudos to... Who do they credit with the needle drop at the end on the DVD? Joe Russo, one of the Russo brothers, which
Alex,
known for their work on Arrested Development previously. But you have the song by the Heavy, I think is the band name. It plays really well with the scene. You have Vaughn in the hacky sex circle. Also the return of Badger from Breaking Bad. I want to say that actor's name is Matthew Smith, but that feels wrong.
Isn't that Doctor Who?
that's Matt Smith.
Maybe it's the same guy.
Badger from Breaking Bad plays Doctor Who.
Just like Christopher Lloyd also made Modern Family.
Exactly. Who would have thought?
Exactly.
I'll look it up, though. He's like, "Ah, no worries, man." And Vaughn says, "No, man, some worries."
Oh.
Whoa.
God, hacky sack. And what was the tag?
The tag is Shrine Abed making fun of the people on the other side of the glass, only to realize that they were heard the whole time, and then they pretend to sleep.
But I don't even see why that would work.
Faulty logic at work.
Oh, Trobed.
Yeah. Matt Jones.
I think that's a guy who used to play for the Razorbacks college team.
That's an odd point of reference.
Well, I'm Maybe. From Arkansas, and I went to the college.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. From.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it is. Megan is ignoring me, so... Anyway...
Let's see. Now I'm on his IMDb page to tell you that Matt Jones has been in an episode of Gilmore Girls, Greek, Reno 911, How I Met Your Mother, Community, and 9 episodes of Breaking Bad. Also, 3 episodes of Community. So keep an eye for him one more time. I bet you'll know when you.
Are you sure I will?
You've seen him a few times so far. I'm pretty confident that you'll be able to spot him because of his very distinctive voice.
I forgot, so I'll have to go back and look at him in those 2 scenes. Oh, I do have one quick correction from earlier in the podcast I just realized.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, one time, we already know that you accidentally call Annie Trudy sometimes because of Mad Men. One time you said it was Trudy from Breaking Bad.
Whoa, did I say
later,
that?
Yeah, later on you said it was Mad Men. I was like, wait, what? Did Trudy on both shows?
No, just true. I thought
you just meant Mad Men. I think you have Breaking Bad on the brain a lot. So
I did mean Mad Men, but I do remember. I feel like we had a conversation where I think I said Breaking Bad, then I corrected myself. Maybe this was another day. I had a similar conversation with a friend.
Yeah, you did that one part of the show, but before that, you said Breaking Bad and kept going.
Right.
And I thought you were right at the time because I was confused and have not seen either show. Then later on, you corrected yourself, and I was like, oh, I should have said something.
Yes, because as talented as she is, I can't think of a role for Alison Brie on Breaking Bad.
Bryan Cranston's role.
Can't be done. Yeah, she would play Walter White.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Walter White.
He looks too scary to be a Walter.
Well, okay, it's part of the transformation, though. He's Walter, and then, over time, it's just Walt.
Oh, Walt!
Nice.
Lost.
I do have a theory that Walt might be special. I don't know. I can't confirm it, though.
Did he kill birds?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to spoil it. You have to see the shares.
You don't want to spoil that he kills birds? Oh, now I'm really intrigued. I can't wait to watch that.
The climatic season 2 cliffhanger.
Room 23? Is that where he makes his drugs?
Room 23. I'm really impressed if anybody got all of the weirdly specific TV references throughout the show.
I think we're going to keep doing them because it makes sense. Because I don't always get every reference they make on the show.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yes.
So I think that's it. That's the end of session 1.
Yes.
The first of hopefully many.
Yes. We have a blogspot.
Yes. Greendale101.blogspot.com.
That's where episodes will be posted. Maybe polls eventually. Stuff like that. Leave comments. We are on iTunes, or we will be by the time this is there.
When you hear this, you will have downloaded it from iTunes.
If you hear it before then, I am very impressed that you hacked into this computer.
Kudos indeed. We're on Twitter.
Yes.
Twitter.com/Greendale101.
And we have an email if you want to leave us feedback. Positive, negative, suggestions, questions, anything.
No, absolutely. If you want to give us any notes on the episodes we covered today or the next 4, or just suggestions, how can we improve the show? What did you like? What didn't you like? All that kind of thing. Because this is a pilot. We're trying, but I think over the next few weeks, hopefully it'll get better incrementally over time.
Especially before the first episode of season 3, which will be a different format because we're only covering one episode at a time.
Yes, we have a few ideas we're going to try to casually roll out over the next several weeks. So
we could just shotgun it where we try every idea all at once and a couple of them will hit and be awesome.
Yes, we could shotgun it.
Oh, and I already mentioned the email. Sorry. Never mind. I was going to say we have the email, too, but we just said that.
So. Absolutely. Send us the email. Hey, do you remember the episode 30 Rock where Liz shotguns that pizza? It's pretty good.
I do. That is also weird.
That's my favorite way for an episode to end.
Oh, and if you work for a community, hook us up with an interview.
What? Are you soliciting drugs?
No. Come on. No, this isn't Breaking Bad.
Yeah, save it for Breaking Badly or Breaking Bad podcast.
Badly Broken?
What? Oh, yeah, Badly Broken.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, hook us up with an interview with anyone.
Absolutely. You're not, craft services, set decoration would be great.
One of the main stars... Dan Harmon, any writer?
I don't want that, no.
Secondary characters, Starburns, Leonard?
Not Starburns either. Dino Stentopoulos.
How about Garrett?
Butchered that name. Garrett. Oh, Garrett, he's cool. He seems nice.
We can interview Garrett?
Sure. I don't want to... You haven't seen him yet. Neil. Neil's good. I like Neil. Not for a group.
Okay.
He should be in, though. Neil.
What about John Oliver?
I wouldn't mind John Oliver. I think you would be quite nervous.
Yeah, I could not interview John Oliver. And I think my girlfriend would start squealing if she knew I was going to. That's not happening. But someone.
Yes. Anyone. Craft services, I'd like to know.
And if you like the show, tweet at the community people that you like it.
I don't know.
Just to
maybe
let them know. You don't have to.
I guess. You don't have to. You don't have to do our shameless bidding.
But you might hear an interview.
I don't know if I like the interview idea. I like putting this out there with the idea of nobody hearing it.
Nobody.
This is solely for my enjoyment.
But we currently have a monopoly on the community podcast market.
That's true, and that makes me sad. That's the only reason I agreed to do this, because I wanted to hear a community podcast. I could not find one.
But you're not hearing, or you're going to listen back to the podcast?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm listening to this right now.
Well, that is true.
Hello, future me.
Yes. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, okay. Students.
Yes, thank you for joining us here at Session 1. We hope you'll join us next time, where we cover the next 4 episodes. Until then, class dismissed.